The Voodoo Child Chronicles, Finding the Fire. Welcome back, dear listeners, to another journey through the transformative power of music. I'm Cressida, and today I want to share with you a story that reminds me why we do this, why we dig deep into the songs that shape us, why we search for meaning in melodies, and why certain artists become more than musicians to us. They become guides. Today's story is about Eli, 15 years old, living in a small town in Oregon where the rain falls more often than not, and where most kids his age were into whatever was trending on TikTok. But Eli had just discovered Jimi Hendrix. Now, before you picture some cliche of a teenager rebelling through classic rock, let me paint you the real picture. Eli wasn't trying to be different. He wasn't trying to impress anyone. He had simply stumbled upon something that made his soul vibrate at a frequency he'd never felt before. It started, as many obsessions do, completely by accident. 3 months ago, Eli was helping his grandfather clean out the garage. His grandfather, Robert, was finally downsizing, moving from the family home into a smaller apartment. Boxes accumulated over 5 decades were being sorted into keep, donate, and trash. "Careful with that one," Robert said as Eli lifted a particularly heavy box. "That's got my whole life in it." Inside were vinyl records, hundreds of them. Albums Eli had never heard of, by artists whose names sounded like mythology. But one album cover stopped him cold. A man with an afro like a crown, wearing a military jacket covered in elaborate designs, his eyes closed in what looked like prayer or ecstasy. "Electric Ladyland," Eli read aloud. His grandfather's face changed, softened. "Ah, Jimmy, now that takes me back." "Who's Jimmy?" Eli asked. The look his grandfather gave him was equal parts disbelief and opportunity. "Boy, you really don't know. Come on, let's fix that." What happened next would change everything. Robert pulled out his old turntable, still works better than any of that digital nonsense, and carefully placed the needle on track 5 of the album. "Voodoo Child's Slight Return," he announced with the reverence of someone introducing royalty. The first notes hit Eli like a physical force. That guitar didn't just play, it spoke. It wailed, it testified, and something inside Eli that he didn't even know was closed suddenly burst wide open. What is this?" he managed to ask. Robert smiled. "That, my boy, is what we used to call the real thing. Jimi Hendrix died young, but man, did he live." From that moment, Eli was consumed. And I mean consumed in the way only a 15-year-old can be consumed, with the total, absolute dedication that adults often mistake for a phase but is actually the purest form of passion. He played "Voodoo Child" on repeat. First on his grandfather's turntable, then finding it on streaming services, then hunting down different versions, live recordings, alternate takes, covers by other artists. Each listen revealed new layers, new mysteries. But here's where Eli's story becomes more than just a kid discovering classic rock. He needed to understand, not just hear the song, but comprehend it. What was Hendrix saying? What did it mean to be a voodoo child? Why did this music, recorded decades before he was born, feel like it was speaking directly to his confused, racing teenage mind? So Eli did what his generation does. He researched. But not casual Googling. This was deep dive, scholarly level investigation. He started with biographies. "Room Full of Mirrors," by Charles Cross. "Hendrix, Setting the Record Straight," by John McDermott. He learned about James Marshall Hendrix, not Jimmy the legend, but Jimmy the kid from Seattle. Mixed race in the 1940s and 50s, raised by a father who was sometimes there and sometimes not, finding solace in an acoustic guitar with one string. "Just like me," Eli whispered to himself one night, reading about young Hendrix's isolated childhood. Eli's own parents had divorced 2 years earlier. His father lived in Portland now, showing up every other weekend with guilty eyes and too many questions about school. But it was when Eli discovered the story behind "Voodoo Child" that things really clicked. He learned that Hendrix had recorded it in one take, at the end of a long session, when everyone was exhausted. It was spontaneous, raw, unplanned. Hendrix had simply started playing, and magic happened. Eli understood that feeling, the moments when everything aligned and you became a conduit for something bigger than yourself. He'd felt it sometimes when he drew his secret passion that he showed no one, when the pencil seemed to move on its own and images appeared that surprised even him. 3 weeks into his obsession, Eli started a journal. Not a diary, he was very clear about that distinction, but a research journal. He titled it "The Voodoo Child Chronicles: Understanding Hendrix, Understanding Myself." Day 1. I've listened to VC, his abbreviation for Voodoo Child, 147 times according to my phone. Each time I hear something new. Today I noticed how the guitar in the intro sounds like it's asking a question. What's the question? I think it's, who are you, really? His mother, Sarah, watched this transformation with a mixture of concern and fascination. Her son, who'd been drifting through freshman year in a fog of apathy, suddenly had purpose. Granted, that purpose was understanding a song recorded in 1968, but still, purpose. Eli, honey, she said one evening, finding him surrounded by printouts of articles about Hendrix's time in London. Don't you have homework? This is homework, he replied without looking up. Just not assigned by school. She couldn't argue with that. As the weeks passed, Eli's research expanded. He wasn't just studying Hendrix anymore, he was studying the entire context. The Vietnam War, the Civil Rights Movement, the Summer of Love, he watched documentaries late into the night, his room glowing with the blue light of his laptop screen. Monterey Pop, Woodstock, Berkeley, performance footage that showed Hendrix not just playing guitar but channeling something otherworldly. Eli studied these videos like an archaeologist examining ancient texts. One night, watching Hendrix's famous Monterey performance where he set his guitar on fire, Eli had an epiphany. He paused the video and wrote frantically in his journal. He's not destroying the guitar. He's sacrificing it, like an offering. In interview, J.H. said he did it because he wanted to create something that could never be repeated. Every moment is unique. Every performance is a birth and death. Is that what VC means? Being born again each time you create. His English teacher, Mr. Chen, noticed the change first. Eli's essays, previously competent but uninspired, suddenly crackled with energy. When assigned to write about a historical figure, Eli produced a 15-page analysis of Hendrix as a cultural revolutionary. This is graduate-level thinking, Eli, Mr. Chen said, genuinely impressed. Where is this coming from? Eli shrugged. I need to understand something. Understand what? How someone can take all their pain and confusion and turn it into that. He gestured vaguely, as if the music was hanging in the air around them. Mr. Chen nodded slowly. Keep going. This is what real scholarship looks like when it matters to you personally. But it wasn't all intellectual pursuit. The emotional component of Eli's journey was equally intense. Some nights, listening to Voodoo Child on repeat, he would feel overwhelmed by waves of emotion he couldn't name. The guitar solo seemed to speak directly to the knot of feelings in his chest, the anger at his parents' divorce, the loneliness of being the weird kid who suddenly cared about old music, the fear that he'd never create anything as powerful as what he was hearing. One particularly difficult night, after an awkward phone call with his father who'd canceled their weekend again, Eli lay on his bedroom floor with his headphones on, Voodoo Child flooding his consciousness. And he cried, not the angry tears he'd shed when his parents first separated, but something deeper. Cleansing, like the music was washing something out of him. His grandfather found him there an hour later. Robert had taken to checking on Eli since the obsession began, understanding in a way the boy's parents couldn't quite grasp. Rough night, Robert asked, sitting on the floor beside him. Eli pulled off the headphones. Grandpa, did you ever feel like music understood you better than people? Robert was quiet for a long moment. Summer of 69. I'd just come back from Vietnam. Couldn't talk about what I'd seen. Couldn't make anyone understand. But I'd put on Jimmy, and, yeah. He knew. Somehow, he knew. Is that why you kept all those records? Music is memory, Eli. But it's also medicine. Jimmy taught me that. As Eli's research deepened, he discovered the various interpretations of Voodoo Child. Some saw it as Hendrix claiming his power, declaring himself a conduit for supernatural musical forces. Others interpreted it as a statement about being an outsider, marked as different from birth. Music scholars wrote about its roots in blues tradition, its innovation in guitar technique, its influence on everything that came after. But Eli was forming his own interpretation, one informed by both scholarship and personal experience. I think VC is about transformation. Not becoming someone else, but becoming who you really are. J.H. talks about standing next to a mountain and chopping it down with the edge of his hand. That's impossible, right? But not if you're changed. Not if you've found your power. The voodoo isn't magic, it's authenticity. It's being so yourself that you can do impossible things. This revelation coincided with a shift in Eli's own life. Inspired by Hendrix's fearlessness, he began sharing his drawings. First with his mom, who was stunned by their sophistication. then with Mr. Chen, who immediately connected him with the art teacher. Soon, Eli's sketches, abstract pieces that seemed to visualize music, were hanging in the school gallery. "These look like songs," a classmate said, studying one particularly intricate piece. "They are," Eli replied. "That one's Voodoo Child." Word spread about the freshman who was obsessed with Hendrix. Some kids mocked him. "Grandpa music," they called it, echoing every generation's dismissal of the previous one's culture. But others were curious. A junior named Maya, who played bass in a punk band, approached him one day. "So you're the Hendrix kid," she said. "I guess. My dad says Hendrix invented punk before punk existed. Want to show me what you hear in it?" And so Eli found himself in the unusual position of teaching someone older about music that was older than both their parents. He played Maya, Voodoo Child, watching her face transform as the song worked its magic. "Holy shit," she whispered. It's like he's plugged directly into the universe." "Right," Eli grinned. "That's exactly what it's like." The research continued. Eli discovered that Voodoo Child was actually two different songs, Voodoo Chili, a 15-minute blues jam, and Voodoo Child's Slight Return, the shorter, more famous version. He learned about the sessions at Electric Lady Studios, Hendrix's own recording facility in New York. He read about the poem Hendrix had written that inspired the lyrics. But more importantly, he began to understand the context of creation. Hendrix recorded Voodoo Child's Slight Return in May 1968, during a period of incredible turbulence both personally and culturally. The world was on fire: assassinations, riots, war, and Hendrix channeled all of that chaos into music. J.H. turned chaos into beauty, not by ignoring the darkness but by diving into it and coming out the other side with something transcendent. Is that what art is supposed to do? Take the mess and make it mean something? This question became central to Eli's own creative development. His drawings grew bolder, more abstract. He started a series called Sound Visions, attempting to capture not just songs but the emotions they evoked. His Voodoo Child piece was 6 feet tall, a swirling mass of colors that seemed to move if you stared at it long enough. His art teacher, Ms. Williams, was amazed. "Eli, these are extraordinary. Have you considered art school?" "I'm 15, he laughed. "I'm talking about your future. This level of synesthesia, seeing sound, it's a gift." But Eli wasn't thinking about the future. He was too absorbed in the present, in the ongoing mystery of Hendrix and what his music meant. He discovered an interview where Hendrix talked about Voodoo Child. The guitarist was typically cryptic, but one phrase stood out: "It's about claiming your power, man. The power they don't want you to know you have." Who were they? Eli wondered. The establishment, society, or maybe just the voices in your own head that tell you to play it safe, to color inside the lines, to turn down the volume. His mother watched her son's transformation with growing appreciation. One evening, she found him teaching himself guitar. He'd saved up to buy a used Stratocaster, same model Hendrix played. "I thought you were an artist, not a musician," she said. "Why can't I be both?" Eli responded, fumbling through a chord. "Hendrix was." She sat beside him. "You know, I was worried when this obsession started. But I see now you're not trying to be Hendrix. You're using him to become yourself." Eli looked at her, surprised by her insight. Yeah, that's exactly it." The breakthrough came on day 120 of the Voodoo Child Chronicles. Eli had been reading about Hendrix's final performance at the Open Air Love and Peace Festival in Germany, just weeks before his death. By all accounts, it was chaotic. Hendrix was exhausted, the crowd was unruly, technical problems plagued the show. But in the middle of this mess, Hendrix played Voodoo Child with such ferocity that bootleg recordings still circulated among collectors. Eli found one of these recordings online. The quality was terrible, all hiss and distortion. But through the static, he could hear it: the defiance, the declaration, the absolute refusal to be diminished by circumstance. He wrote furiously in his journal, "This is it. This is what VC really means. It's not about being magical or special from birth. It's about deciding to be powerful despite everything trying to make you small." J.H. played like a god while his world was falling apart. That's the voodoo: the choice to create instead of collapse. That night, Eli called his father. They hadn't spoken in 3 weeks, not since the last cancellation. "Dad, it's me. I want to play you something." "Eli, is everything okay? Just listen." He held the phone up to his speaker and played Voodoo Child. All 6 minutes of it. When it ended, there was silence on the line. "Dad, I'm here." His father's voice was thick. I remember that song, played it a lot after the divorce. Felt like it understood my anger. It understands everything, Eli said. That's what I've been learning. It's not just a song. It's permission. Permission for what? To be who you really are. Even if it's messy, even if it's loud, even if other people don't get it. More silence. Then, can I come see you this weekend? Really see you, not just pick you up for some awkward dinner. Yeah, Dad, I'd like that. The ripple effects of Eli's journey touched everyone around him. His grandfather started sharing more stories about the 60s, about being young and confused and finding clarity in music. His mother began playing her own old favorites, creating impromptu dance parties in the kitchen. Even his father, when he visited, brought his guitar. Turns out he'd played in college, before life got too serious. Maya invited Eli to see her band perform, introducing him as the kid who gets it. He stood in the small club, surrounded by people years older, and felt for the first time like he belonged somewhere. But the most profound change was internal. The racing thoughts that had plagued Eli about the divorce, about not fitting in, about the future, they didn't disappear. But they transformed. Instead of chaos, they became rhythm. Instead of confusion, they became questions worth exploring. He started a blog about his journey, calling it Finding Fire, a teen's guide to classic music. The first post was about Voodoo Child, naturally. But he wrote about more than just the song. He wrote about using art to alchemize pain, about finding your tribe through shared obsessions, about the courage to be weird in a world that rewards conformity. The blog found an audience. Other kids who felt out of step with their generation. Parents who wanted to share music with their children. Teachers looking for ways to make history and culture relevant. Eli became, inadvertently, a bridge between generations. One comment particularly moved him. From username, SeattleGirl1990. My uncle knew Jimmy when they were kids. He said Jimmy was the quietest person until he picked up a guitar. Then he became someone else. Or maybe he became himself. Your blog reminds me that we all have that switch inside us. We just have to find what flips it. 6 months after that first encounter in his grandfather's garage, Eli performed at the school talent show. Not on guitar, he was still learning, but with a multimedia presentation. He'd created a visual interpretation of Voodoo Child, his drawings animated and synchronized to the music. As Hendrix's guitar wailed through the auditorium speakers, Eli's art danced across the screen, abstract becoming concrete, chaos becoming beauty, confusion becoming clarity. The audience was silent when it ended. Then his grandfather, sitting in the front row, began to clap. Slowly, others joined. By the end, the entire auditorium was on its feet. Backstage, Mr. Chen found him. That was, I don't have words, Eli. I do, Eli grinned. It's what happens when you stand next to a mountain and chop it down with the edge of your hand. Mr. Chen laughed. So you figured out what the song means? No, Eli said, surprising himself with the answer. I figured out what it means to me. And that's enough. Looking back now, what strikes me most about Eli's story is how a 50-year-old song became a catalyst for a modern teenager's self-discovery. In an age of TikTok and instant gratification, this young man spent months diving deep into one piece of music, using it as a lens to examine his own life and times. His journal, The Voodoo Child Chronicles, eventually filled 3 notebooks. The final entry, written on the anniversary of his discovery, reads: Day 365. I've listened to VC exactly 1,247 times. I still don't fully understand it. But I understand this. Hendrix wasn't trying to give us answers. He was showing us how to ask better questions. How to take whatever life throws at you and make it sing. How to be a voodoo child, not born special, but choosing to be powerful. The song ends with feedback, chaos, noise. But it's beautiful chaos, intentional noise. That's what I'm learning to do with my life. Make it loud, make it mine, make it matter. Eli is 18 now, heading to art school with a portfolio full of sound visions and a heart full of music. He still listens to Voodoo Child, but not obsessively. It's become part of him, integrated into his creative DNA. He plays guitar now, not brilliantly, but with feeling. He creates art that makes people stop and stare. Most importantly, he's learned to channel his racing thoughts into racing creativity. When young artists ask him for advice, he tells them what Hendrix taught him without ever speaking a word: find the thing that cracks you open. Then dive into that crack until you come out the other side changed. His grandfather still has that vinyl copy of Electric Ladyland. its promise to Eli when the time comes. But for now, it sits in Robert's apartment, a talisman of the day, a song reached across 5 decades to transform a lost boy into a found artist. Music is a time machine, Robert told me when I interviewed him for this story. But it doesn't take you backward. It brings the past forward to meet you where you are. Jimmy's been dead longer than he was alive, but in my grandson's hands, his music is still changing lives. That's real voodoo, if you ask me. And perhaps that's the ultimate meaning of voodoo child, not what Hendrix intended, not what scholars interpret, but what each listener discovers in their own journey through its soundscape. For Eli, it was a map to himself. For his grandfather, it was medicine for unspeakable trauma. For his father, it became a bridge back to his son. The song remains the same. But we bring ourselves to it, and in that meeting, magic happens. Real magic. The kind that transforms confused teenagers into confident artists, that heals generational wounds, that proves some frequencies never fade. This is Cressida, reminding you that the songs that will change your life are out there, waiting. Sometimes they're hidden in your grandfather's garage. Sometimes they're older than your parents. But when you find them or when they find you, don't just listen. Dive deep. Let them crack you open. Let them show you who you really are. Because we're all voodoo children, in the end. We just need the right song to remind us of our power. Until next time, keep searching, keep listening, and keep becoming.